welcome to ViralCast, the best podcast for viral news, reviews, and movie news. I'm Nick Butler, editor-in-chief of MovieViral.com, and I'm joined by Dan Kelsch, managing editor of MovieViral.com, and MovieViral.com staff writer, Ian. Let's start right off here. What's your guys' thoughts on District 9?
If I had to sum it up in one word, I would say incredible.
I would agree.
Just incredible?
Well, I said one word.
Okay, I guess that's good.
I'd say it's Dantastic. I guess since Ian's being very short-worded, I'll go into what I think. I mean, I think it was obviously very action-packed, even more than I thought it was going to be. But in the last month or so, you really saw a lot more clips and stuff where you knew it was going to be more action-packed. But I mean, it was a ride from the beginning to the end. I thought all the elements came well together. The viral was implemented into it very well. It was just fun. I mean, you're watching it. I saw it twice this weekend, actually, and it was just even on the second viewing, it still was just like, whoa. It's just like it's so hard to explain. It's such a different experience. I mean, it falls into the conventions of a regular film, yet it still finds a way to be extremely innovative. And it's just it's a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't think it'd be that much fun.
Well, for me, looking back on it, I didn't really know what I was expecting, and then after I got out, I just, because like we talked about earlier, just it was way more graphic and way more spooky than I expected it to be, you know?
Yeah, there was a lot of the special effects were just amazing in it, and the way that they really just, I mean, you saw so many people blow up. it was really cool.
And, did you think it was worth a 13-month wait though that you put into it?
I think so. I
agree too.
It was definitely, I mean, it was something where, you know, especially when we look at the way that this whole campaign had started, and I really thought it was going to be more of a message film. It'd be almost like Cloverfield, where you wouldn't see a whole lot, maybe necessarily. It would be a lot more kind of, the handheld thing a little bit too, but just the fact that it'd be more about pushing the message as opposed to like an action film. And so... To get that out of it, I was really surprised, and it was everything. It still pushed the message really well. It made you feel for, you know, the people that you're supposed to feel for, and it was something where, you know, you hated the people you're supposed to hate, you know. It's like everything. I think they really did everything really well, and it was just a really great film. It was probably a better film than I thought it was going to be. You know, the campaign was great, and we have our things that we nitpick about it, but there was a lot of really good things about the viral campaign. But I think the movie kind of lived up to all that.
Mm-hmm. We should probably say that this podcast will probably contain spoilers. I'm going to say it will contain spoilers.
Definitely.
For the movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, I don't think we've said any spoilers. This will have spoilers. So
right.
Don't listen if you haven't seen it.
I would also like to say, in regards to Cloverfield and the whole theater-going experience, for me personally, even though I didn't follow the viral for Cloverfield, it's one of those movies where the first time you see it, especially in the theater, is never, it's, you never recapture that feeling of seeing a movie like that. And
no, you're right.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that District 9 was the same way, but there's some parts in the movie, like the arc gun being fired for the first time, that you don't forget, and it just lives in your memory.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even the crowd. I mean, I went to the midnight showing.
Yeah.
I remember, Ian, you went to the midnight showing too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we all did. We all went to the midnight showings. Mm-hmm. And that crowd, because you know that's the kind of crowd that's going to be like all up for what you're watching,
yeah.
You know.
Which,
you know,
sometimes you go, isn't good.
I know, it can be it can be problematic sometimes. But,
like a Harry Potter movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to those. Not midnight showing.
Yeah. So, but if it's the kind of thing where it's the same kind of crowd you are, and they're kind of liking the same things you are, it's really cool. I mean, Cloverfield was the same way. I thought, where, you know, each time where, you know, they're applauding at the, you know, at certain points, and they're, you know, they're laughing when it's funny. It's like, you know, you really get that experience because everyone's really into it.
Yeah.
And because I went on Saturday night, and then it was not the same. People still laughed, and they did, you know, the little things here and there. You still got a little bit of that, but that there's nothing like that first night on that midnight showing, because everyone's real into it. So people are like applauding every single time. There's something really cool happen, you know, when someone gets what they deserve, things like that. You know, you get a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's just that's something that you don't really see even on a Saturday night. I mean, Star Trek was kind of similar too, where people kind of really freaked out because the Trekkies. You know, they really loved every time someone came onto screen that was, you know, one of the main characters. You know, people really loved that. But then I went to see it that Saturday night also, and it wasn't the same. I mean, it's just That's why I always love going to those midnight showings or those really early showings, because that's the people that, you're right, if it's someone that's not maybe not your crowd, or it's something that, you know, like Harry Potter, where it can get problematic. But, you know, I think for things like District 9 and things like that, where it's your kind of crowd, if it is, then it's that much better of an experience.
Yeah, for me, District 9 was the first midnight showing that I've ever been to.
Oh, really?
And I was really, I was really looking forward to it. And then, like, I get in the car and we're going there, and I'm thinking, okay, cool, District 9. And then I'm in the theater, I'm going, cool, District 9. And the movie starts going and getting into it. I'm like, fucking Christ, this thing was insane. Like I said, it transitioned from style of movie to style of movie so well and just so buttery smooth that it was just, it's such an amazing movie from start to finish.
Yeah, it really integrated the, you know, a lot of people were worried it was going to be like a documentary or it was going to be handheld.
Yeah.
And they did both of them very, they, you know, it was a straight up action film and it was also like mockumentary. It was like, it really kind of blended it all in really well and it kind of grounds the film. And I know that they mentioned that in their interviews that that was their goal. But
One of the reasons it does that so well is you don't really notice that it stops. I mean, for me personally, I didn't really notice that they stopped going back to like interviewing people talking about the footage or that they stopped doing handheld or they went back to handheld or something like that. I didn't notice it.
It's very integrated and it was, you know, very smooth. And I really liked the different, you know, they had the security cameras, they had actual documentaries. Like they really did different things. So it wasn't just like one handheld. It was like different ways of doing it. And I thought that's kind of what made it seem, you know, like I said, you notice it a little less and just makes it much more, you know, you're in that world a little more, I think. And that's what's kind of cool about it. Like you really need to ground it because, you know, these aliens, they mentioned that all the aliens are CGI. And so, and you really, and that's one of the cool things I liked about the film too, is you really see these aliens. You know, it's not like Cloverfield where you see it a little bit here and there. I mean, you really get up and personal with these aliens. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, you really feel for them. They're like people. They're like actors, you know? Like, you really feel for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go ahead and be a negative Nancy.
Uh-oh.
I've already reviewed this film. I gave it a 4.5 stars. I really loved it. I couldn't say any more than what you guys have said. So I'm going to go ahead and point out what I didn't like about the film.
Okay.
Which is strange, because I liked it a lot. So there's not a lot of things I didn't like. The only thing was the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I was bored at times. Mm. And I don't know why. It might have been because it was a midnight showing and I was tired. It might have just been, I don't know, because it wasn't really action-packed.
Right, in the beginning, you're right.
Right. So I was kind of bored. And I don't know how to explain it, though. Like, it was just getting like, okay, now get to the good stuff. And then it wouldn't happen. It would just carry on with the slow kind of the transition into the action movie. So that did kind of bore me. And then another thing is the interviews for the documentary just kind of got old. The mock documentary. They just, after a while, they kept doing it, and it was just annoying. But again, I just like to say, I love the film. I recommend it to everybody. I gave it 4.5 stars. And it's funny too. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's action packed. It's
a little bit of everything.
It's a mix of everything really. And in regard being tired, I woke up at like 7 o'clock that morning. I was at a freaking 12-hour practice the entire day, and then I got to go to the movie. But the only real main complaint I have about it is, like I've said, Kubis was a bit too stereotypical. Movies like this, they have that kind of character. It's normal. That's why it's stereotypical. He's, you know, the total bad canary who wants everyone dead. He doesn't care about anything.
Right.
You know, just...
For a film that's kind of pretty innovative, I think that for them to have such a stereotypical character, I think it stands out more because this is such an innovative film. So, yeah, I could see that. And, you know, to a certain degree, I like it that he's that much, because that way when he gets his at the end, it's like, okay, cool, you know.
Everyone's clapping.
Well, he was pretty much the reason for what the third part of the film was. He's the reason it was like that.
Definitely. And as far as like the beginning, I mean, I can understand it definitely is kind of slow. I liked it because I like learning about the aliens and the scenarios. So for me, I mean, I found that kind of interesting.
Right.
But I can see how it's definitely slow. I know a lot of people with Cloverfield were upset by that same thing too, where at the beginning it's just the party. And
the main
so
difference is it explains some things and yet leaves things open. But
yeah, I think the beginning of this film is better than the beginning of Cloverfield.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
So, I mean, that's true, but it's a similar kind of concept. I mean, you have a film that's very action-packed, but then because they feel that they have to do a little bit of introductory, if you're really ready for this to be an action film,
One of the biggest similarities it has to Cloverfield is that it's presented in such a fashion that it's like you're watching a tape of what happened. You're watching backlogs of it. Like, you know, then it said this is the last known footage of Vickers. The guy said he was looking through the system logs and nothing was bad. They didn't cover it up well. Blah, 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 blah. That's pretty much the main similarity between that and Cloverfield and the handheld and the budget and all that. But
right, yeah, that was something that...
I think this film did a lot better off the budget. It was pretty close, actually. Cloverfield did really good off the budget. And this had, I think, more...
There's much more to it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there was more involved.
Yeah, for a $30 million film to do what it did, I mean, this is on stuff that a lot of people were saying was even better than, like, Transformers and all that other stuff.
It was better than Transformers, I would say.
In terms of, like, the special effects and the action, yeah. I mean, it is... I mean, there's a lot of people, and I'd argue that, too, that, you know, it's on par, if not better, and yet, how much, you know, did Transformers cost? Over $100
million? Mm-hmm. $200 million.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and they did this on a shoestring budget. It's just, and that alone is amazing.
You gotta love when $30 million is shoestring. But I can see why a movie like Transformers might take that much money because of just what you had to do with it.
Yeah.
But you also look at some of the things that District 9 had to do. You had to have, in every shot, you had to have that huge ship floating over Johannesburg. You had to animate upwards of, I would say, maybe 30 to 45 aliens. You had to animate all the gunfire, all the everything else. Wickus's hand was all special effects, I'm assuming. But
there's gotta be some prosthetic there too, though. But
yeah, you're probably right.
But and you figure that there's that scene where all the windows shatter out. There's things like that. I mean, there's, you know, you have military style, you know, all the props just for that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that, you know, this, I mean, you have $30 million. I mean, a lot of, you know, romantic comedies cost that much.
Yeah.
So for them to do this kind of crazy amount of action and great special effects and machinery, a lot of CGI, for that to be only, I mean, I know that the film industry is becoming a lot cheaper to do that stuff, but there's still movies like Transformers, which cost, you know, hundreds of millions.
And not to mention the acting in District 9 was 1,000 times better than Transformers.
Right. And it's not even established actors. I mean, what's the main guy's name?
Charlton Copley.
I can never say his name. But he was great, and this is the first time he's ever acted in a major motion picture. And, I mean, the guy was just phenomenal, I thought. You know,
District 9, in so many different ways, is a staple. Not necessarily a staple, but, like, it sets an example that you don't need 200 to 300 whatever million dollars. You don't need big name actors. You don't need out the ass effects. You don't need just pure action the entire time. District 9 does so many things right that I don't want to say it outdoes the wrongs, but it does. It just,
yeah. I mean, it's a movie that really, I can see that. It really shows you how if you just make a quality film, that's enough. I think, you know, the word of mouth on this has been amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all that really matters. If you make a quality film, you don't need all the gimmicky stuff, you know, the tons of money and the big name actors and Megan Fox, you know they help, but you don't need all that, obviously. I mean, it's just there's something about the fact that they can do this much stuff and you can enjoy it so much, and yet it doesn't cost much to make. I mean, you know, him. I think that's going to really help out Neil Blomkamp in the future as far as, you know, getting more projects and stuff. Because
I can't imagine what he's going to do with a bigger budget. I really can't.
He is one of the biggest directors up. He's one of the biggest up and coming directors. There's no way that he can't go places with this movie.
Right. I mean, because you look at here, they obviously shown there's a movie that's gotten great critical acclaim, great word of mouth. It's gonna probably make a good amount of money. We've already seen the estimates is $37 million for the weekend. I bet you it'll be a little more because I think they're underestimating it.
It's also been rare to see a film that is both critically acclaimed and the audience is like,
I
would also just like to say that $37 million for an opening weekend isn't necessarily big, but that surpasses its...
It's also a rated R movie.
Yeah.
Right, it's rated R
but
movie.
But it also makes its budget back almost to 125%. Mm-hmm. That is a lot.
Yeah, it almost in just the first 2 days, it almost made back its budget. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, here's a guy who knows how to make a film and make it, you know, do whatever budget. So this guy really has a future. And obviously, he's under the wing of Peter Jackson, so that helps. But I mean, I've seen some of his Halo shorts and stuff. So I mean, he's really gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be amazing what he's gonna be doing next. It's good to see
him and Peter Jackson working together a lot in the future.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing. It's great to see up and coming directors that really, mm-hmm. you know, that are instead of hacks, you know, like maybe like a McG or something. You know, you have like real good ones. You know, he's no Brett Ratner. I can tell you that. But speaking of the movie and kind of where it goes, I mean, do you guys want to talk a little bit about the potential sequel for this?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, at the end of the film, obviously another spoiler alert, but the he says that Christopher says that he's going to come back in 3 years to fix Wickus, and Wickus is now a full alien, and so the question is, you know, what will they do? They said that they moved into all the aliens got moved to a new place called District 10. Which might be the title of the film, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. But the question is, will they come back? Will they wage war? Will it be a pure rescue? I mean, what do you guys think they could do for the sequel?
I would like to know if Christopher said he could fix Vickis when he was only partially Prawn, as in, like, his hand was messed up and he has some skin missing.
Right.
Can he take him from 100% Prawn back to 100% human?
I imagine he could, because he's... Well, just because he says, because even after he tells him it's going to take 3 years, he says he'll come back and he'll fix him.
Yeah, but even then, I would.
So he knows that he's going to turn into a full alien. So, I mean, unless he's lying to him, which I have more trust in Christopher than that.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe a radical theory could be, depending on what Rickus's DNA is, if he's gone full Prawn and DNA and everything like that, there could be a theory that maybe Prawns were former humans. I mean, you see Vickis, he goes to full Prawn. His DNA is melded. They even say right. when they inject him that the nerves are all fused.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all the Prawns were at one time former humans. I don't know. That maybe, you know, and they would have been here before, but maybe Prawns live 5 million years. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a... I mean, it looks like Prawn... I think that they may have been... You know, how we're kind of descended from apes or ape-like creatures, they probably descend more from like a reptilian kind of creature, I imagine.
Yeah, but also what I just said made no sense.
Are we talking about the genetics of aliens now?
Yeah. No, what do you think, Nick, though, about the...
I think, obviously, like every movie, that's this kind of style. It's left open, and that's for a reason. And Neil Blomkamp has said on the thing that he'd like to do a sequel if that's what the audience wants. And I'd be honest... I want a sequel, and I know some of our members on the forum have been saying that, you know, when you have a sequel, a lot of times it will ruin the first movie and ruin the series or whatever. But I think in this case, I do want a sequel because of how open this is, and they could do a lot with it. And I would definitely want a sequel, and I think it will be, instead of Christopher coming back, the kid coming back to help Vickis. Because as you saw in the end there, Christopher kind of looked hurt. But it almost looked like he wasn't necessarily hurt. He might have been just happy to be out of there, just kind of exhausted.
Yeah, but, I can see that too.
But I think it's going to be the kid coming back.
Yeah, I wouldn't
like
be surprised.
Like I've said on the forum, as much as I would like this movie to be the type of film that doesn't have any spin-offs or reboots or reimaginings or whatever the hell Hollywood comes up with, as much as I would like it to stay that way, I'm lying through my teeth when I say I don't want a sequel. I don't want to know what happens. I want to know what happens. I want to see Christopher and the kid come back. I want to see the Prawns wage war against the humans. I want to see
more of this world. I mean, this whole universe.
I want to see the Prawns planet. I want to know more about the Prawns. I want to know everything about it. I think Neil Blomkamp isn't the kind of guy who would go back to a movie just for the money and totally fuck up the storyline. Since this is something that he's had for so long, he's going to keep it how he wants it. He's not going to let Hollywood interfere with anything or make it, you know, $10 billion budget. He's going to do what he wants, and if it's not what he wants, he's not going to do it. So
yeah,
I have faith in the sequel. I have complete faith in the sequel.
I think it would be really interesting, you're right, to see more. I mean, like, even that, the little tidbits we got about, like, you know, when the kid fixes that thing and it shows the planet and it shows the seven moons and and talks about that. It's like just that little tidbits we get, I just loved it. And so I'd love to see more about how their system works, because that's something that we don't learn about either. Exactly, you know, why did the ship really stop? You know, we kind of got theories, we got general concepts, but things like that, you know, what really happened? Like, there's a lot of
I don't know.
There's a lot of back stuff that's good.
I don't know with the style of film if you can go to their planet or wherever they live because of the type of... I'm guessing with the sequel, you got to kind of shoot it in the same style documentary thing.
You don't necessarily have to.
I know, but with seeing a film like that, again, as a sequel, without that style would just be different because
it feels
that takes
different.
Away an element of it.
Well, there's a lot of talk about, you know, going back to the whole Cloverfield thing. I mean, there's a lot of people who said that if they were to do a sequel for Cloverfield, they shouldn't do it in the same style because it just feels, you know...
Right, but again, I don't think J.J. Abrams would do that because that takes away the element that Cloverfield had. That was one of the things people talked about.
Right, but what it's really about, though, it's not so much about the handheld, it's about the innovation of it.
Right.
So it's therefore not innovative anymore if you do it in a sequel. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to keep it... If it's more about the innovation than it is about the actual style, then I could see them doing different things. But you're right, it's tough because one of the great things about this film is it's really grounded. And so to kind of go to a whole new planet or something and see... I mean, maybe they talk about it, but if they actually go to the whole planet and everything...
That would also take away an element of mystery.
Right, exactly. That too. But it loses something from the film, because one of the things that makes the District 9 so great is it's so grounded. It feels so real. Like, just like you said, with right. The whole style and everything, it takes place, you know, kind of current times. It feels really real. So to go to a whole new planet where you're seeing a lot more prawns and, you know, and you're taking a lot of the human element out of it, you're right. It ruins a lot of what makes the first film so good. So they'd have to be very careful about how they do it. I could see them doing a little bit more into the past, a little bit maybe, about how they got here or why they stopped. But if they were to do a sequel, I imagine it would be obviously the obvious choice is to have Christopher and or the kid come back to do something, whether it's Rage War or whatever it is. Right. That's the obvious choice. But that kid is so cute. That's what I have to say.
I've said it a million times. I'll say it one more. That kid is gonna grow up and be like, I seen some shit.
Yeah.
Did they say where District 10 was?
Remember Vickis at the beginning said it was over like 200 kilometers away
outside the city. So
yeah, it's just outside of Johannesburg.
I was gonna say if they didn't say where it was, that could leave another spot open to where the next film would take place.
Yeah, it's still gonna be in Johannesburg area because and then they could always move them again, you don't know, but yeah, that's something that he said in the beginning was that they were. They're just going to move outside the city because people are going to be really mad right. about them being there. I mean, I think the whole fact that it is in South Africa is really cool because he even mentions in one of the interviews, Neil does, you know, it'd be a totally different film if these guys stopped on top of like Manhattan or Chicago or something.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a totally different story, which would be a really interesting story, but it wouldn't be this story.
Well, obviously, the only reason it's in Johannesburg is because Charlton and Neil are from there. But I would just like to kind of change subjects back to what we didn't like about the film. This is something I read earlier, and unless I'm missing something critical, it is a valid point. Why would MNU and Kubis want Vickis dead if he's the only person who can fire their guns? He's the only person who successfully survived. He's the only person who is pretty much what he is. Why would you want something like that dead?
They don't want him dead. Well, Kubis does, because Kubis is just tired of like dealing with it. But no, MNU says they want to harvest him.
Yeah, they
said
they didn't want him dead. But Kubis was just like,
and then it just goes into Kubis wants him dead. And
right,
if
but it wasn't MNU wants him dead. They said, if you remember, one of the soldiers said to him like, "We're not supposed to use live rounds." And then Kubis just ignored it and told the guy
exactly.
No.
Right. Yeah.
It was
so talk about Kubis.
It wasn't MNU.
Kubis doesn't care. He's just pissed off at the guy.
He was a stereotypical badass that wouldn't listen to anybody.
Right. So, no, the MNU really wanted him because they wanted to harvest him because once he turns full prawn, he's no use to them. So while he's still in that stage of being, you know, half human, half prawn, he's still very valuable to them because, like the guy, the doctor was saying, he's, you know, it's perfectly fused together and everything. So they want him alive so they can harvest him before he turns full prawn. But Kubis was just, like, getting pissed off and he just wanted to kill him.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. If Kubis gets his way, Vickis is dead. There's no one there to stop Kubis from getting what he wanted.
Right, but I think that they're trusting him to not kill him. But but they don't know him very well, apparently.
So I would say that's not a valid point.
Yeah. Oh, you lose. I understand the point, but Kubis doesn't care about all this. Kubis is just tired
exactly.
of him dealing. So therefore,
that also ties back into why he's a bit stereotypical.
Right.
Right. It's a little bit much, but
I don't understand that point then.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right. So, Well, the let's really get into the viral part of this then, since obviously that's what we here at Movie Viral cover. I mean, how do you guys think? I know Nick mentioned it before, and I briefly touched upon it, but how do you guys really think that the viral really connected with the film?
Like I've said, I didn't follow the viral as close as everyone else. I don't know. Did you guys know that Christopher would be the main alien in the movie?
I figured as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hinted at it, yeah.
It'd be an assumption, but it wasn't something that you knew. So that was nice. When I saw the whole computer set up in Christopher's shack, I figured that, you know, he's on MNU Spreads Lies or something. Mm-hmm. What else was there? There, obviously, there was the signs in Johannesburg, not for non-humans, blah, 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 blah. It's really all I got.
One thing I was wondering was, is the alien, which, if you remember back on, I just checked this, I know the exact date, on June 6, 2009, Christopher, or then George, actually I think it was, I don't know, but anyways, the alien Christopher posted on the MN2 Spreads Lies blog that, see the real me, and then there's a video of the trailer, which means that he's saying that he's the alien in the trailer. I can't remember, but I don't know if it's the same alien.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I'd have to look again. I mean, because they didn't put that into the film, so we don't know what context
that
scene...
Right, did Christopher have any color to him? Like, I know there was red ones and green ones.
No, I don't think he did.
So
it's possible, yeah.
Pretty much the way they distinguished him was because he had that little red vest on.
Yeah, right.
That was cool. I like that. No, because there were other ones that had colors, like, but he I think he was pretty basic.
Speaking of that, can I go back to, like, questions about the aliens for a second and stray away from the viral?
Sure.
Are the aliens one of the things I want to know about them? Are they asexual? Because they showed the one alien peeing by his shack, or whatever, and then he came over and he had the bra on. I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's a female alien. I don't know.
Well, that was one of the videos that they showed as part of the viral, was them talking about how they're asexual and that they lay the eggs that you see in the film. So apparently they are. But, well, I mean, now the thing is, though, I mean, when I first saw that video, I thought that was just propaganda to make them seem less, you know, human-like. But also, and Christopher actually says that the kid is his son. So he uses a male term. Maybe that's just, you know, a typo, or, like, you know, that's just something that they overlook. But I mean...
there's also that part in the film where they're saying that there's a intergalactic prostitution or something like that.
Interspecies.
Oh, interspecies.
Right,
yeah.
Which would mean... to me, that they're not asexual, but...
That makes sense.
I could be wrong.
No, yeah, that's a good point, too. So, I mean, I don't know, like, they... The video said they were, but it looked like propaganda to me, and, yeah, they have male names, and then he says something about... I mean, I don't... Maybe... I just imagine, the whole brawl issue, at least, they only didn't know what that was.
Right, that's what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah,
It doesn't understand the concept of brawl, because those things, you know, they don't have breasts, probably. But,
probably.
It reminds me of Wally.
Yeah. Now, they could be something where maybe they are male and female, because, like, I don't know a whole lot about entomology, but when it comes to the insects and stuff, you know, you have, like, the queen, and you have all these drones, which is kind of what they were implying that that their society was like.
Right.
And so the question is, you know, maybe they're all male, but they can reproduce by themselves, but they're technically males. You know, there's a whole lot of questions about the specifics of their that, but we may never know exactly how.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you would like to know, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's like chlorophyll. I mean, look at all the stuff that we didn't know about how that
worked. But that was more because we followed the viral. But if I had just seen the film, I wouldn't have been asking any of those questions.
I think you would have asked a little bit, like, where this thing come from. The thing at the end helps a little bit, because you're like, oh, well, something happened, you know, something fell into the water. But you still have questions about, you know, where did it come from? Is it the only one of its kind? I mean, you would have those questions. Now, you're right, though. The viral made you have a lot more questions.
They didn't tie the viral at all for Cloverfield.
No, yeah, this one I thought did it go back to the viral. I think this one did it really well. I mean, obviously, you had the blog, which was obviously Christopher, and that was really well tied in. You had the whole MNU thing was really well done. The District 9, how you can actually see the different things in the videos of people, which were also in the film. You know, you really got really into this film, and it all tied in so well to the film. It made you really get a sense of what this world was like. You know, and they try to help you a little bit in the actual film, But it's so nice to go into the film kind of really getting this world, you know?
Right.
You really understand how this world works, and it makes it so much easier for you to get into the film. And so I thought they tied it in really well. I mean, like you're right, the whole Cloverfield thing barely tied it in. But they really, everything was in it. I mean, they didn't say D9.com anywhere, but, you know, the banners, the all that other stuff, they really tied that in. They didn't technically say blog. Like, you know, he never said he had a blog, but... you know, you got a sense of who this character was from that.
Going back to Cloverfield and sequels and stuff, what do you think we'll see first? A District 9 sequel or a Cloverfield sequel?
District 9 before we even. If either of them happen, which I don't think Cloverfield will, I think it's too late. But so I would say District 9.
Probably, yeah. I mean, cause it looks like it sets itself up for a sequel. District 9 is almost the way that it's so open ended. It's real easy to do a sequel. So, I mean, people are going to be expecting that even. I mean, a lot of people were saying... I remember walking out of the theater both times. A lot of people were, like, really excited about the idea of seeing a sequel. Just coming out of it. So, like, immediately people wanted to see more. So that's cool. yeah, with Cloverfield, people might want to see more. They might want to see maybe some backstory. Maybe they want to see what happens afterwards. But I think a lot of people, when they watch the film, they figure, okay, the alien, the monster's dead. Or, you know, like, you know, a lot of people don't know. They just assume that... You know, maybe the monster's dead, or they eventually kill it. You know, once the characters are gone, you don't care anymore. But this is, you know, in this one, the monster or the alien, however you want to, you know, the alien in this one is an actual character, so people care about what happens. So, it just leans itself much more to a. Plus, I think financially, it probably does. I imagine it'll probably do better financially than Cloverfield. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess actually a lot of people are saying to Neil. I'm reading a Time magazine article that they want a sequel or even a franchise for District 9.
That'd be cool. District 11, District 12.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot you could do, though, with this.
It's a great world. I mean, that's the one thing. With Cloverfield, it's just a monster, but with this, it's... Yeah. You know,
this has so much potential.
This you could go to different planets if you wanted to, but I don't see that happening. But you
I think they would keep it grounded. You're right, but you know, you could go more into the past. You can go into the future. There's a lot of things you can go into here.
What I see happening is for the immediate sequel, the second one, the main thing it would deal with would probably be Christopher coming back or his kid coming back and fixing Vicus, maybe getting all the other prawns out of Earth and back to their ship, or whatever. And then, if you want to go into like a third, fourth, fifth, whatever, if you want to really branch off into a franchise, that after the second one is when you start going to different planets, war zones, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I can't imagine them doing that though. I mean, it's interesting, and maybe they do it in different mediums, like you know, comics or something. But I can't imagine them doing sequels to this film, taking it off of Earth. You know, mm-hmm. It just seems like this. One of the things that makes this film work so well is it's so grounded. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I think
after they come back and fix Vicus, what is there to do for them?
I don't think in the sequel Wait they'd fix him. I think they'd run into problems or something.
Right.
Maybe in the end, but even then, maybe their ship will get stuck again, and then there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you could do. And one of the issues here is was with Vicus. Now that Vicus is an alien, I mean, he obviously is intelligent because he made that flower for his wife, and he still remembers who he is.
So that means he knows. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
He might be
the leader of these guys now. He might be the leader. I mean, maybe the sequel is actually him kind of taking charge of the aliens and doing something before.
Maybe he wages war on humans.
Or maybe by then he doesn't want to go back to being a human because he is their king.
I don't know. He has a wife. He remembers who he is. He gave her the flower. He wants to be human, but he understands these guys now. So I could see the sequel being him taking charge and maybe doing something to help to help them. Maybe you know these guys are obviously they have the technology. They have the physical ability. They just need a leader.
And at least some of the like Christopher obviously is really really smart.
I can't imagine there's a lot like him. I mean there's got to be something where that was like a freak accident where he became the smart one because a lot of them are obviously pretty dumb.
Right.
But these are kind of people that know how to take orders. I mean that's one of the reasons why they were malnourished when they first found them. So I think if you were able to get a leader for these guys, then they could do a lot of amazing stuff. And so I could see the sequel just being that. Maybe the third film Christopher comes back. you know, you could really kind of go a lot of ways with this, and it'd be really interesting to see what Wickus's role is in the District 9 with all the aliens. There's 2.5 million aliens and growing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what his role is, does he just stay low like his character was?
Or like, I'm sure if... This is all speculative. If there's a sequel, you could see him, like, in the beginning, he's laying low, and then something happens where the humans want them out of District 10, but he, you know, he doesn't want them to leave for the better, so then he rises up and leads them to victory.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go with this, and so, it's a great world to really explore, especially now, the way that they left it open-ended. There's a lot of different ways you could explore it, and I'm really excited to see if they do that. But I mean, if nothing happens, that's fine too. I mean, I think it's a great film, just standalone film. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it works great as an open-ended film that, you know, you never hear anything about again. But it'd be great to see more stuff from there too.
I'm almost guessing there. This is kind of it's hard to guess Hollywood. Right after something comes up, but I'm leaning towards him doing a sequel.
Yeah,
but,
I wouldn't be.
I would guess it's probably after his next project, whatever that should be.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, you know, it's Hollywood. They want to make money and stuff. I mean, right. But a lot of people thought right after Cloverfield there'd be a sequel. I mean, mm-hmm. So who knows?
And
I mean,
evidently they're still, quote, tossing around ideas.
Yeah, they've been saying that for a while, though. At a certain point, it's just going to go off people's radar and they're not going to care anymore.
Right, that's the problem. You can't go too long, but you can't do it too soon.
Right. So you got to be, you know, it's all about timing. So, I mean, it may already be to the point where timing's off for that one.
Or who knows? Maybe by now something is happening with Cloverfield, but it's been what about a little bit over a year and a half since the first Cloverfield came out.
Right.
I don't think it's too late for a sequel.
We look at Terminator 2 came out what 8 years after the first one, so who knows?
Yeah. And now Tron 2 is coming out.
Yeah, there you go. So
exactly.
The way Hollywood is, if they can find something to grab onto, they will. So
that's right.
When you have people like J.J. Abrams who are really about the story and stuff like that, you know. They have a little more say in what happens, so I can see where if it's too late or they can't figure out an idea, he's just going to scrap the whole thing. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to make it. He doesn't want to make it just to make money. The guy has plenty of money, so.
Right.
You know, I could see someone like Neil maybe doesn't have a lot of money yet. Maybe he wants to make something just for the money, but. But I think that but that's something where there's just so much you could go with District 9 that, I mean, he wouldn't have a problem coming up with a good story.
Yep.
There's so much there to pull from. That's one of the things I love about films like this is where you create this world, and so there's so much to pull from it. You know, I mean, obviously they dealt with one aspect of it in this film, but there's so much different ways you can go about it, and I love that because that means it's open to, like, you know, more interpretations. I mean, you look at even like Stargate. You know, I never watched the series. I mean, they've done several different, you know, series with that from the original movie. It's like you create these worlds that you can explore from so many different angles, mm-hmm. and to be able to do that is just I think that's just amazing. All right, well, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Well, obviously it made $37 million this week, so mm-hmm. it's already topped its budget.
Right.
So it looks good.
Yeah, and especially for a rated R film. I mean, that's...
Right, rated R films. Like, I know, like, first when we heard it's rated R, I almost saw it not doing too good because it wasn't, at that point, being hyped up by everybody.
Right.
But then, I guess in the end it worked out, though, because, like everybody said, and when they heard it was rated R, that they said that good sci-fi movies in the past have been rated R, and they have to be rated R in order to do what they want to do. And obviously with District 9, it had to be rated R to do what it wanted to do.
The thing that went through my mind when I found out it was rated R was, why? What could possibly happen in this movie that could make it rated R? And now I know why. This movie is the epitome of earning its rating, but still...
I'd say a little more...
Look at movies like The Hangover. That's rated R, but that's still raked in over $200 million.
That did great. I think there's going to be Hangover 2, isn't there?
They're already
2011, I think.
Yeah, they've heard a date for it and everything. Yeah, that'd be interesting. As long as they, you know, they don't start rehashing a lot of the same stuff, I think it'll be really interesting to see how they do that. Do you want to talk about any other viral stuff? Since I think we got a lot of the District 9 stuff out of the way, unless you guys have more.
Well, I mean, I have a question for both of you. Are you looking forward to 2012?
I am.
Here's my real question. That was a lead-in for for this question, which we talked about last week with Matt and Scott. Do you have a problem with driving a Mercedes out of the back of an airplane?
Not when you're rolling Demerick.
Yeah, not really.
Exactly. I don't know.
It's obviously a little cheesy, but you gotta look at how it plays into the film. But it's pretty extreme. But it's an extreme film, so with Roland Emmerich, it's always about the splash. You know, he's kind of the Michael Bay of world destruction. You know, he knows how to do world destruction like nobody else.
Right.
And so, you know, I trust him. He actually did Stargate, and he did Universal Soldier, which are two films in which the world does not blow up. So that's he's someone who really knows how to do action films, knows how to do really intense films, sci-fi.
I guess Neil Blomkamp, I just Wikipedia'd him. He was a 3D animator for Stargate SG-1 in 1998, at least once.
There you go.
But I agree with that. I think that movie's going to be pretty good. I don't know how you can create an end of the world movie without having a little cheesiness in it, because it's about the end of the world.
Can't take yourself too seriously.
Right. And I don't have a problem driving a car out of an airplane. I don't know why anybody else would. That's awesome.
But, yeah, that's cool. I mean, if it looks cool, then that's all that matters. You know?
Right. So
you look at one of my favorite films of all time is Independence Day,
right?
Which Roland Emmerich directed. And so, I mean, there's that great scene where I think it's L.A. because it's wherever Will Smith's wife is in, and like, you know, they go into they're in the tunnel, and they have to, like, the dog has to jump out right before the flames come and everything, you know. That's kind of like cheesy. So I mean, you get a lot of that kind of stuff, but I mean, that's part of the fun of it, you know. It's I mean, as long as it looks cool, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm. And I think that viral is doing pretty well. It's getting a.
Yeah, they had a real challenge there because the movie got pushed back, and so, you know, you've already started your viral campaign, and so you have to find a way to kind of, now deal with that. You know, a really good viral campaign is very spaced out very well. You know, it's all about pace. And so when all of a sudden your film comes out later, it's like, oh, great, now we have to kind of, you know, change our strategy a little bit. So I think considering that, they're doing pretty good. You know, we'll see if that becomes more of a problem. But yeah, the whole Charlie Frost thing is really cool. I really like that. This whole leadership thing they're doing, where they're doing elections, and you know, the two aspects of it. You know, the crazy guy who's all like, you know, oh, the world's gonna end, and then the actual company is like, okay, we figured it out. The world's gonna end. Now, how do we actually deal with this in a constructive manner?
Right.
You got the two sides of it, and I think that's really cool. I like that a lot. I don't know how it's going to play into the film, though. But
when we first found out that the movie was pushed back, we figured, okay, the studio doesn't have confidence in it. It's going to suck. It's good enough for a summer release, blah, 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 blah. But now we see trailer for it, and I'm thinking maybe they just didn't have the thing finished in time, because this has a lot of effects power going behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I hope it's because it wasn't finished. But even then, Roland Emmerich... his movies aren't known for being the best quality movies of all time. Just look at, like, 10,000 BC or The Day After Tomorrow. I mean, in my opinion, those movies both suck horrendously.
I like The Day After Tomorrow.
I liked it, 2012. But
2012 is just going to be an effects fest.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. Day After Tomorrow, I think, had its issues, but I liked it. Like I said, two films I think are very good films that he's done are Universal Soldier and Stargate, and those are very good films. So... I think it's more of his stuff in the past. I think in recent years he's gone off base a little bit, but I mean, he has a track record of knowing how to do sci-fi and action, and then of course, like, we've seen Destruction. I mean, at the very least, the Destruction part of Day After Tomorrow was pretty awesome. I mean, I think that he knows what he's doing. But you're right. There's a lot. I think that's what I heard too, is that the reason why the movie was pushed back was because it wasn't finished. But you know, it's still a Thanksgiving, like before Thanksgiving or so. So it's still kind of trying to position itself a little bit.
Now, doesn't maybe Twilight come out the week after?
I think so. So that's gonna be interesting. Yeah. Now, I don't think it's not the same
right.
base at all. It's not the same audience whatsoever. So
I know a lot of people that just go to movies based off the box office, which I don't get that. But
Yeah, I mean, some people figure that's a good barometer of whether a film's good or not, which is silly. But
that in reviews, I don't like when people go up to a movie.
Yeah, about reviews. I mean, if it's someone you trust, and then you're looking at it objectively, like you're looking. I mean, obviously, with reviews, I mean, we've seen some people like Armand White who just are crazy. But you get, you know, if you're really looking at what are they really criticizing about the film, you know, don't just look at a thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. If you look at it, you really kind of piece apart their critique and look at what is it they liked and what is it they didn't like. Then I can see why you could use that as a barometer.
In regards to Armand White, did you guys read any of Roger Ebert's stuff about that? How
yeah,
he defended him? He defended
he called him a troll.
And then he did defend him. He brings up valid points as to why Armand White gave it the review he did. And a lot of the reasons he gave it the review he did was because of a lot of the whole apartheid deals and all this stuff that the general mainstream audience moviegoer doesn't know about. And they just see, you didn't like District 9, everyone else did, you ruined the 100% tomato meter, I hate your guts, go get run over by
a
bike.
Yeah, but it's not just District 9.
Yeah, right. I know
he
that.
He is just a troll.
I'm just referring to. I'm not.
Yeah, no,
saying,
I know. I read that too, and he didn't.
You should
have
be run
points.
Over by a bike. We all know that. But what I'm saying is, just District 9. He brings up valid points, and I'm not the most knowledgeable guy and all that stuff. But I can see where Ebert is coming from.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with that review in particular, he kind of says that the apartheid thing is really not is too over. Like you hits you over the head. And there's no subtlety to it. I don't know. Like. I think that he tries to pretend like the whole apartheid thing's more of a gimmick as opposed to a subplot, and I don't agree with that at all. I mean, I think that the apartheid thing works perfectly with it. I mean, they obviously deal with it a little bit, but you talk about the Nigerians being in there and stuff. So there's a lot of different aspects to the film. I think that's good. There's only so much you can really push, but I don't know. I didn't agree, but he's someone who's very well known for
trolling.
Yeah, well, into giving bad reviews to movies that most people think are good, and giving good reviews to movies that most people think are bad.
Like Norbit.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at his record; it is kind of weird. I mean, it's hard to defend something like that. Next Day Air, he gave a good review. Things like that. It's really hard to kind of look at his track record and to take someone seriously. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, yeah, maybe you need to look at all his reviews, but and actually read them and see what he says, but. It's hard to defend that. I mean, when you're that much against the grain, I mean, it's a very valid argument to say that maybe you're doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I don't know.
I think he is doing it on purpose. Just
yeah,
obviously, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but there's a point where there's a point where you become ridiculous, and
right.
Maybe he is doing it.
I don't understand how a newspaper or whatever is it the New York Post?
New York
it's
Press.
It's called the New York Press.
Who? No, I don't understand how any website or publication can carry someone like him.
Because he gets good attention.
Right.
Everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, but
that's,
I think that,
that's the whole thing.
There's two sides to that. I mean, yes, it gets some notoriety, but I mean, if people don't like you, I mean, that's not good. I mean, if you're a critic and people are supposed to, you know. The goal of a critic is to give people kind of a heads up and be like, hey.
The same coin, the average New York Press reader, I'm assuming, doesn't give two flying shits about Armand White and his opinion.
Well, that's another interesting issue there. You know, who is the average New York Press?
Who is the New York Press?
Yeah, that too. There you go. But you know, the question is, who is their audience? Because maybe their audience is very much like Armand White.
Well,
you know,
just so you know, when you Google New York Press, the second thing that comes up is Armand White.
There you go.
So they he is obviously their newspaper.
He is their driving force.
Or whatever they are.
Right, but and so that's an issue. Is like the question is, you know, who is their audience? Who is the person? You know, maybe you know we look at it from a national standpoint where we are, you know, everyone around the country is seeing his reviews and stuff. But he's, you know, when you're making a newspaper, you're supposed to write for your audience. So maybe his audience is people who have his kind of mindset. I don't know. I mean, there's so many aspects to it that it's really hard to tell. I mean, he doesn't just go, oh, this movie's dumb. I mean, he gives real reviews. I mean, but the thing is, you know, I think a lot of his – I've read a few of his reviews, and I don't find a lot of his points valid. I mean, they're interesting, and he writes well, but, I mean, I don't agree with a lot of his points.
I kind of wish he was a more – because I really don't think he's serious at all. I think he's just doing it on purpose. So I kind of wish, though, he was a serious reviewer because mm-hmm. he does seem like he does write very well, and he brings up good
points, but he just seems to deliberately to... Yeah, he's kind of skews everything deliberately.
Or even if there's a point where, like, oh, in this scene, the character had a wallet, and in the next one, the wallet was on the table. And it's, like, really little stuff, and he blows it out of proportion in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it just seems like he misses the point a lot of times. You know, like, the whole point of a film is to be something. Like, he gave Transformers a good review. It's like, okay. But, you know, it just seems like he doesn't get it sometimes. You know, he brings up all these different points. He's an intelligent person, but it just seems like he doesn't get the point. That's the problem. I don't know. It's, you know, you write for your audience, so maybe, you know, his audience is like that. I don't know.
Is everyone... Are we good?
Yeah.
Anything else to talk about, or...?
For one thing I want to talk about is, because this is something we've talked about on the forum, mm-hmm. things that were in the trailer and press photos that weren't in the movie.
Yeah, that's a really interesting concept, because there's at least been how many people have mentioned that in the forum? The big thing is the interview with...
Yeah, and the one I noticed was there's a picture that they released of Vickis walking with, like, clothes on, and he had the gun in his hand, and it looked like he was getting out of a car or something. That was nowhere near anything in the movie. I don't know where they would have that in the movie.
Yeah, it may have just been a press photo.
It should probably be in a deleted scene.
Yeah, I can't wait for the DVD to come out.
Or maybe it's something they just filmed regarding the interview. Maybe it's something they just filmed for the trailer.
Yeah, there's so many different things. I mean, you see a lot of times in trailers where they put scenes and stuff in there just to make it, you know, to make the trailer better.
Right, like the $11 guy in Cloverfield.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see a lot of that because it's just about you're trying to create a narrative within your trailer. So I think that's the issue there, I hope they show some of that stuff in the deleted scenes. Do you guys know if, I don't know if you guys have the Cloverfield DVD, but...
I do.
Have you seen the deleted scenes? Do they have the $11 guy in the deleted scenes?
They do have the $11 guy in the deleted scenes. I don't know for certain if he mentions the $11. I just know he's giving Rob advice for Japanese porn websites.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, because it could be somewhere, you know, if that part's maybe not in there, because sometimes they just film extra stuff. But it's possible.
That should have been in the film.
Which part? Oh, the
$11 guy.
Yeah, I know. That scene with the anime thing was so funny. The hentai or whatever.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. But, yeah, that would have been cool. But I think you had so much party stuff in that film.
I understand.
But yeah. So hopefully they put some of that stuff in the deleted scenes. That interview is, you know, it's a pretty good amount of time. So it'd be nice to see some of that kind of stuff.
I'm kind of glad that wasn't in the film, though. I don't see really how it would fit in.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
But, like Scott said, it makes him look weak.
That too. But it'd be really interesting to see where they meant to put that in there. You know, like how that plays into everything. But that's not some. I'm glad that you're right. I'm glad I didn't put that in the actual film.
Another thing is Vickis's eye in that one part where I thought it was coming from the press photo, where he's like kind of looking in and you see the green in his eye. In the movie, his eye was huge.
Yeah, I noticed that. I went back and looked at it. What it is the exact moment that the picture is from. Kubis's gun is like halfway through Vickis's face, like covering it up. They edited that out of the photo, either that or they like blurred it off to the side or something. And his eye, it's a normal color. Not normal color. It's normal size. Just one is orange, one is blue, or whatever.
Right,
yeah, I'm looking at one of our thumb pictures that we have. Yeah, I think all it really is that they just did more to it after...
Right, I would have liked to see with the big eye.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted to try to keep that a little bit.
But it did kind of look awkward.
Yeah, and so I could see why, especially if you just, you know, freeze it as a frame, I can see why they wanted to make it more normal so it didn't look so obviously out of place. You know, and it gives a little bit of surprise. So when you see it in the film, you're like, whoa, it really stands out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, because I think it would have looked really weird if you just had it as a photo. Yeah, because a lot of people always look at that stuff like, why wasn't this in the film? So
right. I didn't think there was anything that wasn't in the film that we saw that should have been in it. So
right. No, I think everything played out really well. The way that we saw everything was pretty much the way it should be. I agree. And I was really surprised with the viral. There wasn't anything on Friday, I don't think. You know, a lot of times with some of the viral that we've seen lately, Friday you see like a big, like at least one more post or...
Well, if you think about it, though, it wouldn't have made... If they were trying to do real-time, like Cloverfield sort of did but didn't because the date was different, but it yeah. wouldn't make any sense because Christopher, like, if we see an update to MNU Spreads Lies that isn't something like Christopher saying, I'm back home, it won't make right. any sense, and I would actually criticize it a lot.
So well, I could see that. It being before they do the you know, if it takes place that day, then it, maybe it's before they even are there. Maybe he's mentioned something about how he's almost done with his
right,
you know,
right, right.
project.
I wouldn't criticize that, but if we see an update from now on MU Spreads Lies that isn't...
Yeah, I don't think you can do the... You know, maybe they have that technology. I don't think you can do the internet from...
Right, so that's
from no, you're right. There shouldn't be anything else there. I mean,
are we
cool
talking
if
about how the movie took place in 2010?
What?
No, did it?
Did it?
Yeah, it did. I walked out for a minute, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Wait, District 9 did?
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Huh?
What makes you...
Because, remember how it said they came here 28 years ago?
Right.
When they showed the helicopters going up to the ship.
Oh, the date is the...
It said July 5th, 1982.
You really did math? Come on.
Wait, well, they...
1982, okay.
Yeah, so... No, but I mean, but I remember, first of all, I mean, that can be an estimate. Second of all, they said they had to wait 3 months before they actually went up to it. Because remember, they couldn't get in. So,
okay,
I mean,
so that means it came up in like spring of 1982.
Right.
Because
so,
it was July 5th.
Was it July 5th? I thought it was March. Or I thought it was May.
It was July 5th, 1982 that they went up there.
I'm going to have to look at that again. But like, so yeah, so then you're talking, yeah, spring. But, so, and this takes place in August. So, I mean... Yeah, I mean, I could see how it could be both ways. I don't know.
I would still get mad. But,
yeah.
MNU, I think it would be kind of cool to see a multinational united.com update.
Yeah, because I could see them doing that. Because if you look at it, if it is real time, you know, then that means that it is that day. Uh-huh. Because their countdown was to this day.
Right.
So it makes sense. And I could see them doing that, like them explaining what the day is. And yeah.
Right.
It would have been kind of cool to do that. So I was surprised because, you know, Terminator and even... some of the other ones that we've seen, they did updates on that last day.
Right. The only thing, one thing about Multinational United, I just remembered about this, is on their website, there was a lot of things that just weren't done. You know,
yeah.
It said page unavailable.
Yeah, it was still not done.
Right. And
that's
so,
weird.
I don't know. And it says it will be, as we, it's not available because they're preparing for their 20th anniversary site updates.
Right.
So is there going to be any updates? I doubt it, but.
I know. Most films with viral campaigns, as soon as that weekend comes around, they're done.
Right.
One of the strange things that we saw, we mentioned this in the forum, with the Terminator, the resistorbeterminated.com. They've had, I didn't even realize they were doing this, they've been having updates since the movie came out, but they've totally broken the fourth wall. And
what
they
happened?
They're talking about the film, because they had a game on their site, so they're still talking about that kind of stuff. But mostly they're talking about the movie and stuff, and I don't know, it's just silly.
Yeah, speaking of which, I was going to actually email the Sony representative about the breaking the fourth wall thing. I don't like that.
Yeah, I hate that too. Well, I mean, that's something that we saw with a lot of the Sony stuff, is that whole, you know, the experience concept
right.
that they have with the whole, you know,
like, I get it. I get it from a marketing standpoint.
Right,
but,
me too.
But I don't like it.
You don't like it? Yeah, no, as purists, we don't like it. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, you look
but
at
it. But it makes a lot of sense.
Right, I mean, Slush Show didn't have that, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that was part of the fun of Cloverfield, was that you didn't know what was a real site and what wasn't.
Right.
And that everything seemed, like, completely legit on the surface, at least. And so, you know, with all the stuff they are doing now, it's pretty clear that it's not legit, and so that takes away from it. But with viral campaigns becoming a lot more commonplace, you know, they're you know, as I mentioned in one of my articles a while ago, they're kind of dumbing it down a little bit. You know, they're trying to make it more accessible to the general public. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's not, you know, it's not as fun for us purists, but, you know, mm-hmm. I can see why they're doing that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be nice. Maybe it'd be cool if they could have twofold, you know, maybe have part of it being, you know, very much in world, so you're not sure if it's real or not. And maybe part
right,
of it being,
right.
part of it being, you know, very obvious it is. I don't know. Like, there's, it's, again, it's still new. I mean, we always talk about this in every pretty much every podcast we've been in, that, you know, the whole concept of viral marketing, especially online, is still very new.
Mm-hmm.
And so the right balance between what you do and what you don't do is something that they're going to have to figure out.
And it is, it's an, I was talking to at the head of a marketing company, and it was, they said that viral campaigns are just, you don't know what your audience is really. You have nothing. Mm-hmm. to go off of, and this wasn't like a movie, it was just a general marketing kind of
right
for companies and things. You don't know your audience. You don't know what to do. It is hard to target your audience when you don't know what they like. So you don't know if you can go certain places, or what your limit is.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really hard to gauge a lot of things with those. You know, you can't really do focus groups and Yeah, it's something that they're, you know, you're trying to take advantage of the technology at the time, but you know, it's so a hard thing to judge and to measure. So I mean, I can see why you're still seeing a lot of kind of different ways of going about it, and so that's kind of an interesting thing too, to see how different people do it differently.
And obviously, right now Sony is the only one that does the movie experience that we've seen.
Yeah, so far as they're the only ones that we've seen it, but it could be something where, you know, I mean, obviously District 9 did very well, and you know, this is something where people might use that as a gauge. So it might be something that catches on. It's hard to tell. But yeah, I mean, I just don't like that. The whole, you know, see the 2012 experience, you know, and all the different links. It's like, way to dumb it down.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see if that keeps going on. I hope that not everyone does that. I really wish they would do something with surrogates, though. I'm really tired of it's such a cool concept, and surrogates isn't doing a lot.
I don't think there's going to be much for that. That comes out pretty soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it comes out
September 25th.
Something like that. Yeah. So I mean. And they didn't do anything at Comic-Con. I was really mad about that.
But that still looks like a good movie.
No, it looks cool. I mean, it's just like they had a kind of a nice basis there with that website. And it's such a cool concept that it seems like something that's perfect for viral.
Right.
And I just don't like that. I mean, they didn't do anything at Comic-Con, to my understanding. They haven't done any updates really to the site other than to make it less viral by putting like the trailer and stuff on there.
Right.
So it's just like, I mean, there's a lost opportunity there. It reminds me of Angels and Demons a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
That lost opportunity they had. So, I don't know.
And well, another one to look forward to is Tron Legacy, which is, I guess, apparently 42 Entertainment, which is the same one that did The Dark Knight. So that looks like promising.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure we keep track of that. I mean, obviously we have that's a little more long-term, you know, that and Iron Man 2, and we'll have to see if they do more viral with the other Avengers films. That'd be cool. It'd be hard
for me. For me personally, I would like to see Iron Man 2 above all the others have a really good viral campaign.
Which it could.
Yeah.
It definitely could. Also, another movie that I think should start up a viral if they want to is Avatar. I think that has amazing potential for a viral campaign.
It's a little late though, doesn't it come out this year?
December 18th.
Yeah, that's a little late.
They could do one little thing, I guess.
Yeah, they could. But I know we're going to do the viral review for District 9, but without going in depth, what grade would you guys give the viral?
I'll let Nick start.
No, thank you. out of 10, a 6 or a 7, which is, I guess, a little low, but... I enjoyed it, but there's still unanswered questions as well as just mistakes, I guess. Not necessarily mistakes, but to what we would see as mistakes. For instance, the Maths from Outer Space website. I don't even understand that concept. I don't know where that came from at all.
You should talk to the Sony rep about that.
That doesn't fit into the movie. It doesn't...
Because it doesn't do anything.
Obviously, the aliens don't seem smart, so I don't know why that would be...
I
don't understand at all.
Was that a 100% confirmed site?
Yeah, no, they have the experience thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It's just so weird because you're right. Like they only had the site, they didn't update it, and it wasn't really.
If you
really
take the quiz, it goes to an unfound page.
Yeah, it's just that's so. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That's how bad it was.
and then obviously the name change. I know we all talked about that. And then there's the little things. I guess there was a date wrong. I guess overall, it was obviously the 6 months of nothing.
Yeah.
So I would give it a 6 or 7.
Except, I would give it. I'd probably give it around like a 7. I mean, I think that what they did do was pretty good, especially when you compare it to some of the other stuff we've seen. I mean, whenever I grade virals, I try not to grade it, you know, to, you know, the potential that it could have had. I usually tend to grade towards other things in its field because of the whole newness of it. But I think when you compare it to a lot of other viral campaigns, I think it did a lot of really cool stuff. You're right, though. There were a lot of mistakes, or at least, you know, like the Mass from Outer Space is the biggest one. I hadn't even thought of it. And, you know, like the MNU site not having everything yet. And, you know, there is so much great stuff there and a lot of potential. And they fulfilled some of it, but there was so much more they could have done, I think. that this, it's especially some of it just seems so outlandishly obvious that, you know, it's hard to give it more than like a 7. But I think that there's a lot of things they did right, though.
Right.
What do you think, Ian? even though I know you didn't follow it.
All I'm going to say, really, is that the whole name change debacle.
Yeah.
Or not even... I had no idea what I was going with that. I wanted to talk about the whole 6 months with nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
My whole thing was that is, since the first time anyone heard of the movie was at Comic-Con in 2008, where it had right. the, you know, D9.com, humans, or non-humans restricted, blah, 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 blah. I can see their reasoning for not doing anything for those 6 months, because maybe not a lot of people have heard of it, or not if they did, they didn't really care. Plus, that was the entire span of when they were filming, rewriting, reshooting, blah, 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 blah. But right. the main problem with that is the people who saw it at Comic-Con, like I said before, are the people who follow the virals extensively. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have marketing like that in such a big area, I think you should have something prepared other than just the sites that say sign up for emails or whatever.
Right.
Do we know the company that handled the viral?
No.
Was it just... I think it was just Dwight Cain's...
It wasn't like 42 Entertainment?
No, it was just... It was Sony's... marketing company, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we know what? Have they done anything else? Are they beginners or what?
I'm pretty sure this is their first one. For
a first major campaign, I would say it's actually rather good.
First ARG.
Yeah. Viral. But yeah. compared to other virals, I would say it is lacking a little bit. I would give it maybe 7, 7.5.
Yeah, I mean that's something that's with the whole time period of them not doing anything. I think if they could have just done one little thing saying, you know. Like that they were going to be gone, like, you know, they could have found some way in world to make it so that there was an excuse for them not doing anything,
right?
You know, it may not have been the greatest thing, but at least we would have been prepared for it. I think that that's one of the reasons why the time period was such a big deal for us, was not so much because, well, we had to wait that long, but it's because we didn't know why. You know, there was no explanation to it.
But I think the worst part about it is everyone lost hope in the movie, not only in the viral but in the movie, that it was right, actually happening.
Right,
us thought the movie was completely fake and that Sony dropped it and then we would never see it.
Right, but I think part of that is because of the fact they didn't warn us. There was no warning that they were going to just drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
if they had found a way to in-world or outside, or, you know, if there was something they could have done that said, look, we're not, you know, we're going to back off for a while and then we'll come back.
But you know, on the other hand, maybe that is one of the best things the viral ever did, because I don't remember who said it, but maybe the best form of viral is no viral at all. You know?
Yeah, but there were people. I mean, there were people who left our site. Even you look at our forum. Yeah. I mean, there were people who actually left saying, "Look, there's nothing going on with the film." This is even before we went to the general site MovieVar. Right. There were people who left because they just said nothing's going on. So I mean, that's, you know, it's a dangerous game to play there. I think if you could have done something either in world, you know, in as part of the viral, or maybe outside, even just Sony saying something where you could have at least hinted at the idea that you were not going to do anything for a while because it's too early. Which is, you know, the Sony rep's explanation for it. If they could have done something to even hint at that, I think people would have been like, okay, well, we'll wait, you know, we'll wait it out. Because it had started with such a great, you know, viral, and there's a lot of great potential. A lot of people knew that there was so much that could be, so much cool stuff we could see there. And so people lost hope because there was no reasoning for it. It was like, all of a sudden, there's nothing. But if people had just been given even just a small hint of it, I think people would have stuck around and been like, okay, well, let's wait a while, and then, you know, then we'll see what happens. But the reason people lost faith is because we had no warning. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was the problem. I mean, if you're gonna play that game, it's a dangerous game to play.
And another thing is, I think when you sign up for the updates from Multinational United, those weren't, first off, you didn't get a lot of emails from them. You got like two,
right.
And then other than that, when you signed up, at least originally, you were put on a Sony mailing list for just their general every month updates.
Right.
And that's just kind of rude.
Well, that's what Disney did for their surrogates page, so.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that's kind of rude.
Yeah, it's pretty common, though. I mean, and a lot of times, if you read the fine lines, they tell you that.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I just don't read the fine lines.
I hear that. Yeah, because I get stuff from Walt Disney, so. But, himself. All right, yeah, I get stuff from Disney Company, so. Yeah, but, that's how they do it. They're trying to tie it in, so. But, like I said, if they could have just warned us, I think that would have been a lot better. I mean, I know you don't want to ruin the viral by trying to, you know, by going outside of it. So if they could have found some explanation, even on just one site.
You said that they're moving from District 8 to District 9.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the issues I had, was why District 9? Like, what happened to 1 through 8? Have they been moved around?
It's part of the mystery.
I know. It's
Something that said the others hadn't worked or something? Or about other districts?
Yeah,
or...
but wasn't that where they immediately put them?
Yeah, no, because the whole thing is that big issue about...
Or it could be... Well, no.
I think it was one of the second...
It could
remember,
be District 9 of South Africa or something like that.
I don't know, because...
Remember at the beginning, when they were talking about how the aliens got there, they said they set up a camp directly below the ship.
That's
and
true.
That was, really? I don't remember that.
District 9 was not directly below the ship.
Right. Sorry.
Well, I think that what was I going to say? I don't think there really wasn't one to rate just because of the fact that they said they don't understand the concept of ownership. So, you know, when they said they have to go around and serve eviction notices, you know, the aliens didn't know what they were talking about. So I don't think this is something that's happened before. So the idea that there could have been eight other places that they were seems...
There could just be eight other locations that other aliens are.
It made it sound like it was all in District 9.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But you're right.
Didn't you say 2.5 million aliens or something?
Yeah,
2.5 million aliens went to District 10.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So,
and they never talk about any other districts. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. There could be other regions, but they really made it sound like that was the one location. There's, you know, the way the film's made, there's so much that we don't know.
One thing that I love that in the film, they at the beginning, they talked about, I don't know if anyone caught this, I think it was part of the comedy where they were saying that the aliens would go through the trash and then they'd take your cell phone and then they'd kill you. And then the first thing Vickis did was he went through the trash, he got something to eat, and then he was running and he took someone's cell phone.
Cell phone, yep.
I thought that was hilarious.
Well,
I just noticed that.
Yeah, and it's funny because they did, they even had a line about how they take your sneakers and they actually look at the name brand of the sneakers and things like that. I like that.
I like the whole part where the chick is talking about what Nick said, how they just take what you have on you and then they kill you. And the whole time she's saying that, there's an alien 5 feet behind
her. Yeah,
going through the trash. Yeah, that was funny. No,
The reason Vickis did it, and sorry again, Dan, the reason Vickis did it was because that stuff he needed, because he needed to call his wife.
Right, no, I got why he did it, but it was just, I thought that was
the parallel
funny.
Is very... No, I think that's really cool filmmaking when you do stuff like that. The parallels that they
could have
create.
Been an accident, too. Who knows?
Hmm. Yeah, I know that too. You know, maybe they may just happen to be. You know, maybe it was so.
Maybe O'Neill will hear this and go lol.
But yeah, there's a lot of great comedy in it too. I mean, I didn't catch it. Someone mentioned it on the forum. It wasn't even until the second time I saw it. I remember I even noticed it when he walks into the party, and then he says that he thinks he crapped his pants. Like I didn't hear that the first time. So when someone mentioned that and I saw it again,
speaking of Cloverfield,
what?
Surprise party.
Oh. I was like, I don't remember anybody crapping their pants in the Cloverfield.
I bet there were a few.
Oh, yeah, I bet a few people crapped their pants.
I think when he ate Hutt at the end, he probably crapped his
more
pants.
More or less, unwillingly.
It's probably a flaming homeless guy, I bet, crapped his pants. But, hey, yeah.
Clover's a prawn.
Sorry, what?
Clover's a prawn.
There you go.
Wouldn't that suck? If we had, like, 2.5 million Clovers. Anyways, back to District 9.
No, that's something that's interesting. That throughout this podcast, I think the similarities between Cloverfield and District 9 is something that I hadn't even thought about until.
And actually, District 9 does have a lot of similarities to other movies. I know a lot of people talk about Alien Nation, and then it obviously has the handheld kind of style mockumentary thing that Cloverfield had. This the District 9, the thing that surprised me is it ties in with a lot of other movies, so it's not original. Like per se, but it is still completely original.
Right.
It's weird to say because you can see similarities between a bunch of different movies, but then District 9 is a completely original. Everything.
Well, I think what it does along with Cloverfield is what Cloverfield did is it took unoriginal ideas and melded them into something original.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great way of
and
saying.
And District 9 does that, but on a very more general basis. I mean, the whole aliens on Earth and, you know, infections and all that shit. That's all obviously unoriginal, but it's melded into a completely original concept.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really, there's definitely little things here and there, like when you see the mech suit where he, it does the whole Iron Man thing where it, you know, shoots all a bunch of them at once. Like, you know, you see little things like that and it reminds you of other things, but, you know, just the way that it all melded together, I think, is what made it such a great experience.
How much of a badass would you feel like if you got hit by that arc gun?
Like,
once you got past Once you got past being in the whole, like, thousand different places area, I mean, yeah. It's shit.
But I would like to say, though, I think this is, so far, when I think about it, the best film of the year, so far.
I would argue that it'd be this or Star Trek.
I know you would.
For me, I think it's either this or Up. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, Dan, I love Star Trek.
I don't think
those
go in the same category, though.
I know, it's kind
of
hard to compare.
I know, but they're my favorites. Up, Star Trek, and District 9 are by far my three favorite movies of the year.
Although District 9 and Up kind of had a similarity on the type of the emotional roller coaster.
They're carrying a ship.
No, yeah, I mean, Up. I think Up's probably one of the better films, too, of the year. So, I mean, District 9 is obviously up there. It'd be hard to tell, you're right. It's hard to compare these things.
It's definitely the best film of the summer. But
yeah.
Star Trek and Up, summer?
Yeah, both Star Trek and Up are in summer.
Of the June through August summer.
They're in the summer movie season. They're not technically in summer.
Right, okay. Yeah, of the actual like winter summers, you know, if you look at it, biologically speaking, you know,
that's what I meant.
Then yes, it is definitely the best. Wait, I thought Next Day Air was no wait, that's May.
We'll run you over with a knife.
But no, yeah, definitely. I mean, especially for an August film, I mean, it's definitely the most
original film of the year. Because I wouldn't consider Star Trek original because there's been others. It's obviously an original series. I'm not trying to.
No, yeah, I think the originality of it makes it stand pretty far above a lot of stuff. I mean, it's hard nowadays to make an original film. So the fact that someone can do that is just amazing, and and that's part of what's so great about it. It's not just a remake of something.
I think the whole it being original thing is one of the biggest reasons I want it to stay by itself. You know.
Well, yeah, but if it's him just doing to preserve, a sequel, it's gonna be fine. I don't think Neil Blomkamp would make a movie, a sequel that would kill the first one. I can't see him doing that.
Yeah, because it's his idea and he's nourished it and had it for years. I completely trust Neil. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying. It's one of those movies that you want to stay by itself.
I don't.
Well, I mean, I don't even agree with the whole concept that, you know, a sequel ruins a first film. I mean, you look at, like, Speed 2 Cruise Control. That sucked. But Speed is so awesome, and I'll watch that a million times. You know, so...
But then on the other hand, I'm not saying Terminator 2, in my opinion, was better than Terminator 1.
Right, I agree.
And T3 sucked, and T4 was entertaining. Right. But I can't see District 9.2 being better than District 9.
It'd be tough, because that's part of what makes District 9 so great is the originality.
Right, there's barely any sequels that are better than the first, but it doesn't mean the sequel's bad.
Yeah, no.
A lot of people compare the sequel to the first movie, but there's hardly any movies that are better than the first.
It's tough. I mean, there's obviously some big-time examples like Terminator, and I would argue Toy Story 2, and then Empire Strikes Back. But, you know, if those are the exceptions to the rule. So, they're big exceptions, but they're exceptions. and there's a lot of movies where, you know, just because there's a sequel doesn't mean, you know, there's a lot of great sequels out there that, you know, the first film's still always going to be the best, but, you know, the sequels are
And
are
when
still...
you have a movie as good as critically acclaimed and audience acclaimed, like District 9, it's going to be hard to come up with a sequel that will get that same perception. And since it won't get the same perception, a lot of people are going to say... things like it may have killed the franchise.
And another reason why District 9 is so big is because of the originality and because it's something we've never seen before.
Right.
Right, so you're never going to be able to match that, you know, with
exactly.
the sequel.
That's one of the biggest problems that Neil and Peter are going to face.
Right. And I think it's the same problem with Cloverfield. That's the reason why they've been having trouble even getting Cloverfield off the ground is because, you know, people expect some kind of originality that they got from the first film. That's part of what made Cloverfield so great is the originality. So I think that you know, that could be a problem right there in trying to do a sequel, is you're trying to still say original, you're trying to do something that's going to match it up. You may never be able to do that if originality is part of what makes the first film so good. So that's tough. I mean, now, I think Terminator to a certain degree was kind of original, but, and so, you know, there's an exception right there. So, so you never know. So I definitely think that there's so much there, as opposed to Cloverfield, where there's only so many ways you can go. And so many different aspects of it you can really deal with. I think that District 9 has so many different parts to it that you could explore. that there's a lot of room there. I mean, Terminator, you know, a lot of these movies that had great sequels, there's such a great world they create that there's so much to pull from. That's why the sequels are so good. It's because there's a lot to pull from. I mean, Star Wars is a perfect example of that, you know? There's so much world there, and obviously he had written it like that, but also there's such a great world there that, you know, you want to see more of that world. That alone sometimes is enough to make...
No, yeah, but, I agree.
Yeah, so, I mean, people want to see that. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people who, you know, they see one, they're happy with it, so, you know. But it's Hollywood, so they're going to make a sequel if they can, so...
I do honestly see in this District 9 having a sequel, as long as that's what Neil wants. And to this, and Neil said he'll do whatever the fans want. And I think at this point, the success of the film and everybody saying it's a great film, I think that's hinting to me or to him possibly. I don't know if we think the same, but to do a sequel.
No, right, because he said that he loves this world, and he would love to explore the world more that he's created. So that coupled with the fact that he wants to do what the fans want to do, I mean, it's definitely a thing. Do you think it'll be called District 10?
I do see it being called District 10.
That just seems, in terms of originality, unoriginal. It's something about District 10 I don't necessarily like.
This is the title, calm down.
let's call it District 9.5.
This summer, it's back.
District 9.2.
District 9.0.
Revamped. The prawn is back, and it's pissed off.
The prawn strikes back.
There you go.
If it's about war, that's what it should be called.
There you go. Prawn strike back. Then I think it'd be cool if they...
2.5 million arc guns going around the place. Oh, we'd be so fucked.
I don't think there's that many arc guns. The way the technology is, I mean, I can't even imagine a war that would be beneficial to us in any way. Because just the way that even their simple weapons are just totally crazy. So I mean, I can't imagine that if it is a war movie, it's gonna have to be like our entire world versus them, because there's no way we can compete with that.
I don't see it being a war thing. Even if he does wage war on them, I don't see the main plot being the war.
Yeah, I think just the cost of that alone would be problematic for them. It'd be really expensive to do, and it wouldn't be as interesting either. Probably, there's a lot more other ways you can go about it. I think what they should do is give it a cold. The mother Independence Day style. they go up there and give it a virus.
Isn't that more of a War of the Worlds style?
That's like an actual virus for the aliens, but I'm saying like in Independence Day they go up there and they give the mothership a virus so that it shuts down.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you seen Independence Day?
No.
Oh my god.
I think I've seen the ending though. So
I just ruined it for you. Well, okay, so there you go.
I don't care either way.
No, it's a great film. But yeah, War of the Worlds, they actually give an actual. They don't actually get it's just an actual.
Yeah, they just kind of get it.
Yeah, the natural germs on Earth. I mean, that's something that they even mentioned in the beginning of District 9 about one of the ways to get rid of the aliens was to.
Maybe that's another thing they can draw from is how the aliens survive so well in our atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different aspects to these aliens that we still don't know about. That I mean, like, you even see like on the torso of them, there's those extra little hands that they have. Those little mini arms, kind of like what Clover had with the big tubes it had. Like, it has these little, like, hands on...
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, like, those kind of things. I can't imagine any, like, really good reason to have those. Like, they're not very big, and they don't seem to do anything.
Why do we have little toes? For balance.
Yeah, that's true. Nope. So, I don't know, like, that's interesting. So, to learn more about them and the biology of them, and it was, man, every time they ate, like, meat, it was disgusting. It was great.
it was disgusting. It was great.
Yes. It was even better when they ate Kubis.
There you go.
Did they?
They did. They ripped them apart and ate
them. I saw the rip apart part. I'm not.
They ripped them apart, and then there was a couple of them that started going to town on the munchies.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of pull back a little bit, so you don't see it like really graphic, but you can tell that's what's happening.
I could see him coming back in the sequel. No.
In shit form.
I know. It's his son comes back. It's his son versus versus the Christopher son.
His prom's killed by dad.
It'd be just like, what was that, Boba Fett?
It'd be Kubus's kid versus Christopher's kid.
That's what I'm saying.
Versus awesome. Vickus's kid.
There you go.
Oh, God.
He's the man in the middle. That'd be great. It'd be just like in Indiana Jones, where you start trying to like pass the torch.
Yeah. Oh. Are they doing another one?
Yeah. I heard they're really planning. Yeah. Because that's how you run a franchise.
No one liked the new Indiana Jones. I liked it, but I'm not.
It had aspects to it that I really liked, but it had too much George Lucas in it, which means it had way too much CGI.
Exactly.
I just like Harrison Ford, so.
Right. No. I mean, the parts like when they're on the motorcycle and
the
like
the ending was oh my god, really?
That was. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the problem with George Lucas. He's so great when you don't give him a lot of tools. Like when he has full range to do whatever the hell he wants, he's gonna fuck it up. But if you that's why the original Star Wars movies were so great, is because he couldn't do a whole lot.
Right.
But then that's why the new one sucked, is because he was able to do tons of CGI. And so he's someone. That's why the Indiana Jones movies worked so well, because it was really Steven Spielberg putting his foot down and being like, this is how we're gonna do it. But then I think Spielberg has gotten soft at his age, so he's let Lucas do a little more in the new one. And it's just like, just all that CGI just doesn't feel right, you know?
Like an alien? Really?
Yeah, and then like the whole monkeys and everything, it was like...
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's just like the whole... When you put a lot of CGI into Indiana Jones, it ruins it. You know, Indiana Jones is all about the realistic looking of stuff.
Right.
You know, that's what makes it so great. It feels real, it feels down and dirty. It feels like a 1930s film or whatever, and so... And they kind of ruin that by adding a bunch of CGI and aliens to it. I mean, it's always been about more like religion stuff.
Right.
I mean, the first one's the Ark of the Covenant, the last one's the Holy Grail, the middle one's a different, totally different religion. And, so it's always been about more of a religious kind of archaeological thing. So to turn it into the whole, you had so many different things about it. You had the Soviets, you had the aliens. To go that route, it was so different from the original.
I liked it until the end.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't like the CGI. I think it was cool. You can't just keep doing Nazis, so to do Soviets was cool. Plus, he looks older, so obviously it's going to be around that time period. So
Right. You
can't just keep doing Nazis. So so that was cool, but I felt that there was way too much CGI.
I agree with that, yep.
And then the ending was bad. I think if they could have dealt with those, I think it would have been a pretty entertaining film. I my favorite scene is the whole bike scene where where Shia LaBeouf's on the bike and then he has to get off the car and try to get on the bike, and it was so real, it was cool. Now that we've gone off on a total tangent by talking about Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
That's how you do a franchise. Let's just tie this back in. So if they want to do District 9 as a franchise, I think it should be District 9 the Holy Grail. They'll find ways.
And the prawns are actually like rabbits in disguise.
There you go.
I bet they could get Monty Python.
There you go. I like to see. I don't think they will, but it'd be cool if they could go into like other areas than just South Africa for the sequels.
Right, I don't see it leaving Earth. I wouldn't like that. Maybe clips, like you might see like a human like goes into one of their spacecrafts and it has video feed playing or something of their homeland.
Right, but I think even if they went to other places on Earth, it'd be cool.
I agree with that.
This whole movie takes place in like this one area.
I can't see it leaving a rural area.
So, yeah, no, I mean it's part of the feel of the film, part of what makes it work. So,
like, if they went to New York City, I'd kind of get mad. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see a little bit of that. Like, maybe if they could just find a way to kind of. Because I want to see how the rest of the world is, feels about
true,
this. I mean,
true.
All we've really seen is how South Africa deals with it. So I think it'd be interesting to see other people's from outside that area's reaction to the whole situation. I think that'd be cool.
But then you could even do that where if they do the same style, they interview someone from New York City, or like maybe for a second you see a news alert on the Jumbotron they have in Times Square.
Yeah, because that'd be cool. Like, there's so many ways they can go with this film, and it's just a matter of trying to find a way to make it have the same feel as the original, but also find a way to make it kind of original.
Right.
There's a lot of things you're trying to deal with there, but I mean, it really leaves itself open to go a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm. So let's wrap it up here with two quick questions. One, yes or no, do you want a sequel? And two, overall, what is your rating of District 9 out of 5?
I do want to see a sequel, because I'm greedy, and then I want to see more of this world. And I would give it a 5 out of 5. I think overall it does everything that you would want out of a film.
Ian,
Like I've said before, as much, I'm lying through my teeth when I say I don't want a sequel, because I said it a million times.
Hey, Ian, the question was yes or no.
Hey, Nick, I'll run you over with a knife. In my 15 Lexus. Anyways, yes, I want a sequel. As for rating it, fuck 5 out of 5. I give it, I'm gonna give it a 9.5 out of 10.
What?
I don't do this out of 5
Thank
bullshit.
Thank you, Ian, for following both of the rules.
I don't do this out of 5 bullshit. I do this out of 10.
That's a 4.75 out of 5.
Exactly, but I didn't want to see if it's either 4 or 4.5, so...
Okay, so Ian gives it a 5 out of 5. I will give it a 4.5 out of 5, and I will say yes to a sequel, and yeah, because I think it needs a sequel. So, thanks for listening, and obviously thanks, guys, for joining us. This was an epic podcast. make sure you check out the Movie Viral Forum at movieviral.com/forum. We got a great community. We can talk District 9, District 10, who knows. As well as all the other viral ARG marketing there are going on right now. And make sure you follow Movie Viral on Twitter, twitter.com/movieviral. You might as well follow me too, twitter.com/NicholasButler, NICHOLAS. And follow Ian on Twitter. Oh, wait, you can't because he's not there.
Because I'm just not that into letting people know when I take shit.
Don't tweet it then. Anyways, again, thanks for joining us. Make sure you join us next week. We'll be talking some more stuff. It is twat. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.
ViralCast is sponsored by viewers like you. And now, a special announcement from Dan Kelsch.
I had my face run over by a bike.
What? You just nonchalantly said that.
Oh,
Ian, wow. Stop.
Ian, wow.
Why the fuck is that funny?